Hey, everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, Hotel Transylvania 3 takes a huge bite out of the box office while Dwayne Johnson struggles to number 3. We'll break down everything and more next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody. Neil Plumley with the Shooter McGavin on this episode of Box Office Breakdown. There you go. Of course, folks, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
About
the box office that lie ahead.
That was great. Everybody.
We had some trouble last week without you, Carrie.
I know. I missed y'all.
That's not true.
I did.
I'm Frank Moran.
I'm Carrie Lane.
I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And I'm Neil Plumley.
And, of course, making us look good and sound even better is Anthony in the booth.
That's me. Hello, everybody. I always got to struggle to get to unmuting myself.
Oh, that's all right. And as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up or 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. As many thumbs up as you can imagine. And if you're watching this after we stream live, you know, Carrie, what can they do?
Y'all can comment down below.
But if you're watching us live right now, hop in the chat. Feel free to share your thoughts about anything movie related that you maybe seen, something you've seen this past weekend, or just anything that we happen to talk about during the course of the show.
Chat with us.
Chat. We want to hear your thoughts. And you know, speaking of that, we'll jump right into it.
Let's look back at the. I'm excited.
Yes, and there's a reason why Amy Cassandra Martinez is so excited. About this is we're gonna look back at this week's top 5. Coming in at number 1, a movie that I thought was it's fine. Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer it's Vacation.
Fine. How does it relate to 1 and 2 then? Like, is it downward, upward, or like a dip?
A lateral move?
Yeah, this is the first one that wasn't written by
diagonal.
Robert Smigel and Adam Sandler. It was written by his cool last name, Tedadovsky or what.
I thought you were going to say Kenny Chesney.
Kenny
that
Chesney.
That's a cool last name.
It's a lot of country in this film.
A little rock and roll.
But so it's fine. It's just fine. It's just fine. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it came in. It did gangbusters at the box office, $44.1 million.
That's right, Frank.
Family film franchise.
Yes. And it was also the subject of this week's box office bet, last week's box office bet. To find out the results of that, let's throw it over to Neil Plumley at the box office bet table.
Thanks, Frank. We join you here at the box office bet table. I'm Neil Plumley.
Yes!
As you just heard, Hotel Transylvania 2 did $44.1 million this past weekend, which is very good. Good job, Hotel Transylvania 2. Yeah. Our bets were as follows. The highest number that came in was from the person to my right, camera left, Amy Cassandra MTZ Martinez, with $49 million. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It is great. I know you're very worried about having to go see this movie, and now you don't have to. You're not the first away.
I know.
So you can rest easy. Good job.
Look how cocky she is right now. When last week she was freaking that she went so big on that prediction.
Shaking in her
Heck,
seat.
You were. This morning I was still a little concerned. But everything's fine now.
I liked your Twitter reply of the smile face.
The most perfect use of that
ever. Looks like you, even. Like that. Go look on our Twitter and that's
next up in our lineup comes myself, actually. I bet $42 million, just a good $2.1 million off, which makes me the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Look at you. You're the winner. Look at you go.
I won.
Look at you go.
I don't know what to say. I wasn't prepared
You're
for
blushing.
This.
Blushing. Gosh.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone. I have a speech prepared for later. Next up, we have Frank Moran, who bet $38 million. Congratulations,
Frank.
Oh,
hey, all right. I'm okay. I forgot. I had immediately forgotten what I bet after I made that bet.
I don't remember.
And sadly, there had to be someone who was furthest away last week, and that was TonyBTony_. He bet $35 million. Still very close, but not close enough to beat out Frank.
Oh! Anthony, how excited are you to go see this movie?
I cannot believe I have the pleasure to go watch this film.
Hey, it is horror related.
That's the only saving grace
it's
that I can see.
It's spooky, scary.
No, it's spoopy.
It's too spoopy.
It's spoopy.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, look at that.
And that's the whole breakdown, Frank, of our box office bet from this past weekend.
stuff. Fantastic. Ooh. Another excellent job, Neil Plumley. Look at you.
I'm loving these songs.
Let me lay it down for you.
Okay. But, you know, if your folks are saying, my gosh, that box office was so much fun, don't worry. We're going to do another one at the end of the show, and you will get be able to have a chance to get involved and choose the film that we're going to bet on. Details to follow. But coming in number two on the box office this week, Ant-Man and the Wasp from Disney. Another $28.8 million, a 62% drop. Neil Plumley,
womp womp,
very worried about this drop.
Yeah, why? I mean, that's a steep drop. That's a real big second week drop. That's a Batman vs. Superman drop.
No. Yet, if you compare those two films, Ant-Man and the Wasp does...
supremely better.
Correct. Both critically and just from filmgoers, a much better reviewed show film than Batman vs. Superman. So what do you think led to the 62% drop?
You know, Frank, I'm not sure. I think maybe Ant-Man, you know, isn't quite as... I mean, it's supposed to be fun, you know, and it is. It's supposed to be just a fun movie, but it doesn't really... It's not supposed to have a lot of, like, lasting consequences in the Marvel Universe. At least, I mean, the first one didn't. This one kind of didn't until, you know, some of the sub-credit scenes that you see at the end. But the only reason that those were there were because of the Infinity War. So it doesn't organically really do anything that has, like, a huge lasting effect on the MCU. So maybe viewers might think that that's a little bit less interesting. You might not have to go see it. Because it's not like, you know, Captain America, or, you know, it's not like Black Panther, it's not like these big tent pole. I mean, they're all supposed to be tent poles, but Ant-Man kind of seems like the runt of the group.
Smaller.
Yeah, it was for the first go around. It was definitely a lot smaller than some of the other Marvel movies that are coming out around the same time. A lot of people attributed that with the whole production quarrels that they're having with Edgar Wright leaving, and a lot of differences that they're having. But now it seems like it might not be that. It might just be people not really all that interested in Ant-Man. I wasn't too worried about its initial box office debut last week. I thought those numbers were pretty good. I would have liked to see them a little bit higher. Sub 100 isn't really something that we've seen since, what, Thor 2? The Dark World? Was sub 100? I think that may have been one of the last ones. Don't quote me on that. I think I'm ballparking.
Go ahead and quote him.
Go ahead and
well, I was
going to
make the chat bigger, and they'll chime in right away and let us know.
But it's not necessarily a problem because, of course, Thor Ragnarok came out with, you know, an incredible display last fall.
And Neil loves that film.
I don't love it. I don't love it at all. But I understand why people do.
You said you were getting the red scar, red paint.
Yeah,
tattooed
that's
on your face.
Really.
That was going to be your first face tattoo.
Okay, Frank, that was a secret that was supposed to be kept.
You told me.
He told you?
He told me.
Sorry. I
mean, so,
loose lips.
But the second week drop is kind of concerning. I'm not really quite sure what to make of it. I wasn't really seeing it coming, so I wasn't, you know, prepared to look out for it. It just sort of hit us like a 62%, you know, boat.
What do you think this bodes in terms of a Ant-Man and the Wasp 3?
I'm not so sure. I mean, the production slate seems pretty rigid right now. I mean, they have it all planned out. They have a Wasp solo that I think has been announced. And those things tend to not change. They tend to change, like, slightly their, like, release windows. But they don't tend to change, like, the movies themselves. They don't just, all right, we're taking that out and we're going to put something else. And once they announce it already, they follow through with it. So I'm not that worried with the continuation of the franchise. I'm kind of worried about them introducing, like, more silly characters. I think that Marvel could do for a little bit more silliness. I like having fun characters. I think Ant-Man and his whole team is a lot of fun to, like, be around and play with. I felt like the appeal of the first one was that it was more of a heist film. And those are always fun to see. And that's mainly because that was Edgar Wright's script that he wrote. That was a heist movie. Of course, he left there and took a lot of his ideas and went and did Baby Driver, which was fantastic. But the second one was just sort of like a movie. You know what I mean?
Do you see Ant-Man and the Wasp? It could go for much the maybe just the team up, where it's going to be Ant-Man and the Wasp and other superhero that we've seen before to kind of maybe bolster it up to make it a much more appealing and enticing package.
You think it means, so not really like a their title film, but like they join another title? Is that what you're saying?
Or even just another character they drop in. Imagine if they, for an example, they drop in like a Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange and Ant-Man. I'm not saying that they have, but if they did it where they brought in another character that's more recently introduced, So Doctor Strange, you know, fine film, but didn't, you know, nobody's really clamoring for a sequel.
Right.
What if they slammed all three of them together and they did a film? Would that entice you more to go see it?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. I dig Paul Rudd and I like the humor that he brings to it. I really like Evangeline Lilly. Her action scenes were insane. Mm-hmm. So and good. I just wanted more of that. I just think maybe this film was just lacking in some like the standard places that like action superhero movies can lack in. Like the fight choreography was good, but we just needed to see more of it while they were fighting. Like they fought like really quick and then it was sort of like done for a while. And then they're driving and it's like, okay, what are we doing?
Though the car bits were so fun, especially when they get small and it's like,
yeah.
But then that's the comedy of it.
Yeah, stuff like that's a lot of fun. Like you mentioned last week, Frank, the villain, or more like adversary, was not very sure-footed. It could have been a little bit more rock solid in what their motivation was, at least to their own self, so that we could feel it a little bit stronger. There's just, you know, just things like that where, like, a slip here and a slip there might not be a big problem, but when it's, like, five or six things that are sort of subpar, it comes out sort of like a medium-ish movie.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Yes, Carrie?
I was going to say, I wasn't here, so I didn't get to chime in that I hadn't seen it yet, but I liked it. I thought it was very fun, and, yeah, it's in the more comedic side. Zias Bailey was saying he was agreeing with you, Neil. And afraid of them going way too Ragnarok and Guardians for every single film. But I feel Guardians is, like, kind of comedic. Ragnarok had comedy, too. But Ant-Man's a different kind of comedy because it's more Paul Rudd's comedy a little bit. And then some of the side people and how they interact with him. Fight scenes were awesome. And, yeah, just the visual comedy, too, of, like, things being small or not. Like, I feel they utilize that really well in this one. Of they knew how to fight. They knew how to use their gear. So it's a fun one that... But it might not be everybody's cup of tea that maybe they want the darker, more serious superhero. But this is more refreshing because it's a comic booky, very playful and fun movie. But yeah, the stakes are not quite as...
Right.
It's the end of the world. No, it's a little more small. But then that's fine. It's just a different kind of movie.
I'll compare it like this if I can. Since they brought up Guardians and Thor Ragnarok. The Ant-Man included, those movies and franchises have a lot of humor in them. They're mostly based on humor, some people would say. A lot of fun and like a lot of really good jokes. People come out of Guardians, they're like, oh man, the stuff that Drax did was hilarious. And they're right. And it should be that way. But the thing that Guardians does that I think the first Ant-Man touched on a little bit, but kind of couldn't because it was an introductory movie. But the second one definitely failed on, and Thor Ragnarok failed on. The Guardians movies tend to have very funny moments, but also very heartfelt, serious, like, sort of in-your-core moments with some of the characters. Guardians 2, it was all the whole arc with Yondu. That was very touching and very moving, including, like, the end when the other Reavers came out and they're, like, celebrating his life. That was all really good, and it was something that they worked on, like, as an arc through the two movies. Sort of like to build him up as like sort of like an anti-hero, but something that you like you feel for. And so in Guardians 1, if you would have told me, oh, well, wait till Guardians 2, you're going to be sad with something that happens to Yondu, I'm going to be like, no, I'm not. Yondu's, you know, a jerk.
Very true.
But they definitely use their version of storytelling, including with all the jokes and everything, to paint a very heartfelt picture. And that's something that Thor Ragnarok missed entirely. Mm. And that's something that, sad to say, Ant-Man and the Wasp only barely touched on with a heartfelt scene with his daughter near the beginning of the third act of the film.
Yeah but then it was nice to say at the moment where it was comedy and heartfelt, where we'll just say it was a channeling moment. Mm-hmm. And that was funny and heartfelt because I felt it played so well because you're like, yeah, that totally is what it is right now. Yeah. But then it's kind of funny, and that's what Ant-Man has. It has that more like comedy, a little bit of heart, but no, it doesn't have the deep, heartfelt moments, but it's nice to have variety. We don't want every film to be the same.
Yeah, it is like that. I just wish the heartfelt moments weren't such like a facade of a heartfelt scene.
Yeah.
And then when the scene ends, it's like, well, that's over.
Yeah.
That's all.
Coming in at number 3 at the box office this week, Skyscraper, another new entry from Dwayne Johnson from Universal, $25.4 million. Probably one of the lower, if not the lowest, kind of opening weekend for Dwayne Johnson in quite some time.
Now, Frank, is it telling that Ant-Man had such a massive drop and still came out ahead in its second week than Skyscraper's initial release?
And deservingly so, because Skyscraper is a dull movie.
Oof.
I never thought I'd go walk away from a Dwayne Johnson film and say, yeah, it was boring. Even if the story is kind of contrived, he still delivers on the action, and this is just dull from beginning to end.
Oof.
It's so, I mean, of course, even if you've just seen the trailers, it does seem like a very contrived kind of knockoff of Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. I mean,
I've been saying that for weeks.
Yes. Even not really big spoilers, guys. At the end of the movie, when Dwayne Johnson comes out of everything, he ends up having this quick meeting with the cop, kind of basically a play off the Die Hard meeting at the end. But he never once has any interactions with this cop through the course of the movie. So when they have that scene, he goes, it's great to finally meet you. As the audience, and even like feels like Dwayne Johnson, that scene's going, who are you? I have no idea who you are. And I'm like, yeah, that moment lands. It's a thud. You're like,
no.
Okay, great. You never once talked to him. So we don't care that you've actually met him.
That's weird.
It is just so dull. And it's,
are all the exciting parts in the trailer pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I feel like it's tough with Bruce Willis when he's with Die Hard, putting him in that situation. He's not a really buff, muscular guy, Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's put in the situation, you're like, wow, how's he going to get out of this? Because this is not like a big macho Schwarzenegger Stallone type of character. The Rock, very much in the Schwarzenegger Stallone type of vein. And even giving him the idea of like he's got a prosthetic leg. It's still like in these fight scenes, you're waiting to see Dwayne. You don't feel like Dwayne Johnson can't take care of himself, it kind of takes away from the stakes of those scenes. But then you never really get to see really awesome fight scenes either. So you never get to see Dwayne Johnson just doing what he is best at, which is entertaining audiences with some cool action.
Right.
So it's both dull and frustrating at the same time.
That's not a good combo.
John Harrison in the chat, kind of echoing that in a different vein. Skyscraper was kind of fun, but the fact that the whole place feels like a set takes you out of it. Die Hard was filmed in a real building. Did you feel that when you're watching it, that it felt like sets?
Yeah, I mean, it does, because you never really, you don't get much geography of the building. You get the nice big outside, and you get like schematics of the building floors and stuff to understand where some people are going into relation.
Yeah.
But you never really spend a lot of time in these locations.
Mm.
Even like the only time you really spend a little bit of time in some of them is when everything's on fire in this building.
Mm.
So you never really get a sense of like the majesty of these buildings. It's just a letdown.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, we're in stairwells, or we're in like, you know, places that just aren't really polished inside, pieces like kind of backstage areas of this building.
Mm.
So you never really get to see much. The villains are, you know, unremarkable. You have no Alan Rickman type character.
Right.
So nothing makes it worse than if you're going to knock off Die Hard, but yet not have a really compelling villain to
Hans Gruber.
Yeah, you don't have that. So yeah, this guy is just underwhelming, to say the least.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just the lack of really cool action sequences was surprising. And some of the editing. One character gets disposed of, and it's edited in such a way that you don't really even get the payoff of it. It's built up to like, all right, this guy's going to get taken out right when he's about to maybe knock out the good guy. But it's edited in such a way you're like, oh, all right, I guess he fell off here. Cool. All right. It's not like a terrible movie. You're not like hate watching it, but you're just watching it and you're going, boy, this is really dull. This is just not fun whatsoever. And it's disappointing. I never thought I would feel that way coming out of a Dwayne Johnson film.
What would you rate it?
I mean, like, I'd have to give it like a 1 if it was terrible for like a plot as well. I mean, the plot's derivative, but it's not horrible. It's just dull.
Yeah.
So I'd actually probably just give it a half star for that, 1.5 stars.
Out of four.
Ooh. Out of 20.
Ouch.
It's just dull. Yeah, you let it come to you. Do not waste time. Even as a summer popcorn flick, it's still not even worth that. You're going to find more escapist fare elsewhere this summer.
Was it better than Rampage?
Yeah, no. I mean, Rampage is dumb fun.
Okay.
Where
I get it.
So
yeah.
You get to see the spectacle because it pays off the concept. You want to see big dumb animals smash up a bunch of stuff,
right.
And it does that. It gives you what you want.
Yeah.
This sets up like imagine seeing Die Hard, but there's really no action, and the action that is there is just really dull.
Bummer.
So would you say you would encourage people just to stay home and watch Die Hard.
That is, yeah. Watch all the Die Hard films, because any of those are better than this one.
Ooh. Even Live Free or Die Hard?
Damn. Maybe Die Hard 5 over there in Russia? No. Okay, don't watch that one. That's a terrible movie.
Tony, can we scroll back up in the chat before we get on to the next segment? Someone had a good point on movie drops. Ken Jack in the chat points out Deadpool had a 65% drop. Solo had 65% drop. Jurassic World, 58%. Incredibles, 56%. There are too many big movies coming out week after week. If you don't see it opening weekend, then there is something else to see. So, yeah.
Very true, Ken Jack, but yeah. All those movies had each other that they were competing with, mostly.
Yeah.
They had other giant movies. With Ant-Man and the Wasp, they just had Hotel Transylvania 2 or 3 and Skyscraper, which didn't do all that great. They did great. I mean, well, Hotel Transylvania 3 did pretty great for what it was. Mm-hmm. Skyscraper did not do good at all. So it's kind of a big 60, almost 63% drop from Ant-Man as a Marvel movie from the second week, coming in with sort of mediocre competition. Mm-hmm. That's like a big deal.
I wonder, like, what was the box office like a year ago today? You know, this is, we're after the 4th of July, but like school hasn't started yet. Maybe people are going on vacations, like longer term vacations, and they're just not wanting to go to the movies. They already saw Avengers Infinity War. They're like, check, okay.
Maybe. This whole week was a 12.9% drop from the week before.
Hmm.
But we've got, in a couple of weeks, we've got the, you know, Mission Impossible. So if you're not changing your life to make sure you're going to see that movie, then you got to get your priorities straight.
Really?
Because, yes, as Neil, please, once again, demonstrate loading your arm guns.
Really? Cock those.
Got to reload your arms.
Amy's not excited for the Mission Impossible.
Amy doesn't really care.
Have you seen
I've seen the first one. And I was like, that's cool. That stressed me out.
There's so much different.
The odd numbered ones.
No, but you can still, like, judge a trailer.
Yeah.
And what they gave you. And when they freaking show the freaking trailer so many freaking times.
Fair enough.
And you start remembering what they're going to say, when they're going to say it.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite trailers, by the way.
It's a good trailer.
It's a fantastic
trailer. Well, the thing that's... Since you haven't seen all of them, something already going into it, and anybody else chime in if you feel the same way, I am excited that he's failing in some of the things because he's been so good. I'm like, but he's getting older. I don't want him mm-hmm. to be perfect. So, like, when you first saw the attempt and fail, you're kind of like, oh, because then it makes it more real instead of like, I am perfect and I did everything just right. But I don't know if you have that payoff if you haven't watched the journey.
Yeah, I like what they're doing for the press tour. Henry Cavill, like, did you guys see the whole article with him just talking to Instagram? Like, his Insta stories were all, hey guys, I'm here. I'm about to start the second half of my day. Hey guys, I'm about to start eating my third meal. Hey guys. So that was pretty enjoyable to me. So
you really sold it too.
You sound so excited.
Yeah. No, I honestly thought that the punchline was going to be
so he's shirtless or something, right?
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying. It was more amusing to see him do his Insta stories than to see all the freaking trailers.
Okay. Mm.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, are you guys excited with the trailer?
And I'm sure because it's online, but if you want to go to, there's a clip from the Graham Norton show where Tom Cruise goes on there and they play the clip of him breaking his ankle. And they show you the actual scenes from all the different angles. And when you see that foot just hit the side of the building and just crack back.
Oh, I want to see that.
Oh, it is great. What is great about that film is that at the end of that scene, he's Tom Cruise. He's mother effing Tom Cruise. He finishes the scene.
Good.
He limps out of frame. Look at him. True hero. And that shot is in the film. So
that's nice. Yeah. I like that. Interests me more than the trailer.
There you go. Well, don't judge it on the trailer.
Hurting themselves.
Yes. I judge it based off of the trailer.
Well, go watch 3 and 4.
What about 2?
Don't watch 4.
2, well, I mean, 4 is going to tie into stuff that you need to see in 5.
I guess so.
I'm not going to skip 2. That's weird.
Hey, 2, no, you can skip.
Do a marathon. 2 is absolutely.
Watch all of them.
That's terrible. What, yeah, when the next one comes out, I'm like, oh, it's time to rewatch them.
And 2 is terrible and leads to my theory that John Woo is in love with birds.
No, that's true.
I don't think you're alone that there.
I actually haven't seen the first two. I started it on...
What?
The first one's good.
Confession. I started on three, though, and then like I loved it ever since.
The third one's where it really takes off.
Yeah.
It really starts to become something.
John Rome in the chat agrees with that. Says, you can start Mission Impossible 3 if you've never seen any of them. Three but has great Philip Seymour Hoffman performance. Yes.
But you saw one. Don't worry about that.
The first one was fine. Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. You can see with three. It gets a lot better. J.J. Abrams in one of his more...
And Philip Seymour Hoffman in one of his best villain roles I've ever seen.
Two, go to see two, like after you've watched all of them. Don't then go back and watch two if you want to be a completist. But you don't feel a need. It's,
okay.
It's terrible.
Marathon.
It's not
And then just
movie.
Like climb the side of a wall.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's how that movie opens. He's free climbing in like Arizona. And then he gets a call and he like answers his phone.
And then he throws his glasses right there. It's
right
great.
To the screen. It's like, dun, 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 dun.
It's best.
Apparently we've talked too much about it. Right. Move on.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, Anthony. We're breaking down some important
We got 16 minutes
stuff.
Left. Come on.
Let's go.
Or we will get there, Anthony. We're professionals. Coming in number four, Incredibles 2, 16.2 million. And Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom from Universal, $15.5 million.
Woo.
Talk about a Fallen Kingdom.
Ooh.
Is it the most earning franchise with only one good movie? I think so. Well,
it's just bad. I mean, of course, Colin Trevorrow is talking about like, hey, yeah, we're really trying to see if we can get, what's her name? Laura Dern in for the third one, and I'm like, if you're gonna if you're a Jeff Goldblumer, I have no interest in seeing Laura Dern.
Yeah.
If you're gonna give her a real part and let her actually do something of consequence, please, I would love to have Laura Dern back for this, but don't give us this little cameo.
Just wipe the cast and just bring back Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum.
I would be
as full time guest.
It's a reunion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Make them the full cast.
Yeah.
The full time cast. Have them back riding helicopters, cracking jokes. Sam Neill can be like PTSD still from all the raptors. waking up from dreams. Instead of Jeff Goldblum with a dinosaur head, he's like, Alan! And we all just laugh and have a good time.
Well, I feel like that's the challenge of a franchise like that, because anybody in their right mind within that universe would never want to put themselves in that situation again.
Yes.
Right.
And so it makes it tough to be able to like how to come up with ways to put these characters in there.
Yeah.
So that's why you get Joe Goldblum in a courtroom, guys.
That's why I like Fallen Kingdom. They're like, you got to go back and save the dinosaurs. And they're like, I guess so.
Yeah, brother. So, of course, Hotel Transylvania didn't just kick butt domestically, but internationally as well. It landed in 42 markets with a total of $46.4 million. The overseas tally is now 54.8 for a global total of $100.1 million. It has set a new record as Sony's biggest animated opening for the same group of 42 new markets and was number one in 33 of them. Sadly, though, Skyscraper, it hit in 57 markets, and it was particularly soft in Latin America, so that's a shame there. But that was $40.4 million overall with number one starts in 17 markets and the best performances, not surprisingly, in Asia, since the film does take place in Hong Kong. So... Hong Kong. It is in China. Is it in Hong Kong? I can't remember. But yeah, I think so. That's how much that movie was dull to me. I am dubious at best of the actual location within the universe of this film. But it's not all doom and gloom for Universal, though, because Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom has stomped into its final market, Japan, and with a $12.7 million debut. It's the studio's biggest opening of all time in Japan, and the best of 2018. Wow. It basically tracks about 35% over the previous Jurassic World film there.
Wow.
Look at that. That's huge. The current total is $771.4 million overseas and $1,134.7 million globally.
Nice.
Yeah, and we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp at $35.3 million, and it is running 33% above the first movie in the same markets and at today's rates. So... And it still has some other markets to go to. So even though it had a big drop domestically, it still seemed like it's kind of doing well, even performing a little bit better overseas. And to wrap it up here, look at that. We've got The Incredibles 2. It has now become in the UK, it was the second biggest 3D opening for a Disney animation or Pixar film ever, behind only Toy Story 3.
Look at that. Of course it was.
All right.
Chat was pointing out that World Cup has been this week, too. So... Mm-hmm. People have probably been glued to
these
their TVs.
Past couple of weeks.
Yeah. But like, no, what we're talking about this past week, why right. people haven't okay. gone, gotcha. So it's getting more intense. I'm like, that's a good point.
So, yeah, the finals were today
yeah.
in France.
Yes, sir.
France. Cool.
I wanted Croatia to win, but no.
Yeah. So, of course, we mentioned the box office bet, and this is your opportunity now, to, if those of you that are watching live, to hop in the chat and place your vote for the film that we will all bet on for next week. There are three films vying for your hard-earned vote.
Three of them, wow.
Yes, and that is Denzel Washington's first sequel ever, The Equalizer 2.
Wow, the first,
really
ever?
First ever?
His first sequel ever.
Oh, that's a great stat, Frank.
Equalizer,
right?
Yeah. Sequel, Equalizer.
Yeah, surprisingly, that it was Equalizer, but, I mean, if you're going to... do it. I feel like any actor that says, like, I'll never do a sequel, there will come a point in their career where...
At yes, some point,
they
yes.
will come back and do a sequel.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia 2, speaking of sequels. So Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again from Universal. And then Unfriended Dark Web. There's
also
it's a
sequel.
Yep. It is a trilogy of sequels.
Triple sequels.
So start placing your bets. First, I will tell you, I am honestly super obsessed with Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
You're such a freaking because, liar.
No, I because of no. what Meryl Streep is. Yeah. I need
anyone
to know.
Anyone listening, we're making faces at him. I like, need, what?
Because the first
it's
film
a
is.
It's a plan, guys. Like, he's doing this no, so that you don't.
The first film is bonkers. It is a movie that okay. I laugh at because it is so horribly directed.
Right.
But, okay. Like, this one. The amount of I am so fascinated by how much or how little Meryl Streep is actually in this film. Based on the trailers, you think that she's probably dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And which it doesn't make sense to me because everybody's still happy in the movie. I don't know, like
because they've because
they're
on.
Celebrating life.
I don't know.
And who, she wouldn't want them to be sad.
I have yes. no idea. So I don't know about that. But yeah. she's also but Amy Seyfried has said that oh yeah no she's involved
Amanda.
In this movie. Amanda Seyfried has said
nice.
That she's involved in the film. So. How much is she? And has shot new scenes. So I am so curious.
It could be new scenes as in flashbacks.
Yes.
It could be.
I do like the idea, though, that it's like the young her to see like what she did then and like the young guys. I'm like, that's fun. Like, no. how did my, what, like, what
we got
my
it,
mom here?
We got the story in the first film and a song. That was great. That's all we needed to see. I don't need, that's what scares me about this movie because it's like the Han Solo. I don't need to see Solo for Mamma Mia. I don't need to know and show out in real time.
Solo Mia.
Yes. The how we got Han Solo to be Han Solo. So it's like we now get to see how Meryl Streep's character got the overalls. It's just like Han Solo got his name or his blaster. Great. Things I don't care about, but we're going to see a movie all about it. Fine.
So you're not excited.
But I am so excited to see this movie
you're
still, regardless.
So not excited.
I will watch it. Oh man, I'm gonna be out of I have to figure out some time to go see it.
I saw something on Twitter this week that you probably like, Frank, and probably you guys would think it's funny too. Someone's like, here's my idea for a better sequel to Mamma Mia. The trailer is just 40 seconds long. And it shows Meryl Streep on a cloudy day and like a storm's brewing, walking to like the shoreline, and a giant monster comes out from the ocean and she pulls a shotgun out and she says, Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Reloaded.
I'd be all for that.
That'd be an interesting movie.
That'd be amazing. But also, is the third one going to be
My.
How can I forget
how
you?
How can I forget you? Mamma Mia, my.
I like
how
Paul,
can I forget you?
Paul Jones in the chat. I'd rather die than watch Mamma Mia.
Dang.
Don't say that.
People don't really believe you, though, man. They're like, oh,
yeah,
Frank's
they
lying.
They don't believe you.
Trust me.
John Harrison,
I think
Lily James is
I like
Jane,
that you're
though.
He's pretty
Frank.
Genuine.
No, I
feel it, yeah.
Genuinely obsessed. I am more obsessed with this movie than I thought I would be in terms of the marketing. It
you
is
know what? I'm,
sucked me
I'm
in.
I'm noticing that you're more obsessed with this movie than I thought you would be.
I can't believe
it. But that doesn't
Are
mean
you
that
an ABBA
watch
fan?
It.
I enjoy the ABBA music. That's
okay.
great.
But that definitely would help.
But it just, yeah, and how much
it
is Pierce Brosnan going to sing in this?
It has a weird style of a movie. I will definitely give it that. Like, just the vibe of it, you're like, this movie's a little different. But
it's bad.
I think it's more than
I didn't think it was bad when I saw it. I mean, it's fun, but it's very quirky, and it's one of those, I think that jives with you or doesn't. So
there are some scenes that are like when Meryl Streep's doing her song where she's running out to the pier that are directed so terribly and edited so poorly that you just have to laugh at it.
Can
and
you,
I
so
want to see more of that.
That's what you're going with. So it's, you know, or you have certain feelings about it, but the main one is that you're curious to see how bad it's going to be.
Pretty much.
It could be terrible. It could be very terrible, but I'm genuinely excited to go see it.
All right.
This is a fresh take from Frank.
Yeah, there you go. So those are three films to bet on in the chat, folks, for which film that we're going to go see.
Equalizer's doing best, though.
Oh, well, folks, don't you want to go see, have me make me go see Mamma Mia? Here we go again. I really want to see it. All right. So, folks, before we do that, though, we'll do a quick box office rewind of somebody that has been in one of these films. And if you're going to do this, why not go with an icon? How often do you get an icon in an upcoming film? Why don't we go with Cher? Because for some reason she's in Mamma Mia. Here we go again. That is the other bonkers
movie.
And five other movies that we're going to talk about.
You weren't invited. Those are the best parties to go to.
That was kind of funny, though.
Okay. So coming in number five for her, Mermaids, back from 1990, $3.5 million. I've seen none of these movies.
I was just about to say that. I've seen
none
of these. I think I saw Stuck on You, but I don't remember her.
I've seen which is, well, we'll get when we get up there. I've seen the top two.
Oh, nice. Number four, Suspect from TriStar back in 87, 4.1. Stuck on You from Fox. Wait, that was the Greg Kinnear, Matt Damon. Okay, yeah. That was 2003, 9.4. That movie was all right.
I didn't quite care for it. I don't remember her in it at all, but it's, I only saw it the one time when it came out. So,
did she play somebody like a Hollywood person?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Sarah Brockle in the chat says, "I love mermaids."
Oh, all right. Number two, the Witches of Eastwick.
That one was a fun one. That's a cool movie.
From 87, 9.4. Everybody talks about this movie with Jack Nicholson and stuff. I've never actually seen it.
No, I've never seen it.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I always see the ending for some reason. I actually haven't seen the whole movie.
Oh. Yeah, I just watched the ending.
it's a cool, supernatural 80s vibe. They're like, good cast.
They're like invincible women that like take over Jack Nicholson's like life in a sense and keep him captive. And he's like just trying to get away. And he's slowly going insane by these women that can't die.
So feel good for families.
Yeah, it's really a cool concept.
All right, Anthony, quick new show idea. Anthony only watches the endings of films and then figures out the plot based on that to get into that ending point.
That's literally what it was.
All right. That's what I want now. I want you only to watch the endings of films and then base what the rest of the plot is based only off on that.
Title,
and then,
third acting.
Sarah adds it, which is Eastwick, is also really fun. And Brandon says Mermaids is actually really good. Thank you, chat.
I'm watching Mermaids now.
Coming to number one, Burlesque from Screen Gems back in 2010, $11.9 million.
I love that movie.
I think you're the only one.
No. Well, on this panel, as a dance, like, entertainment, singing, musical movie, awesome. Any other thing, you're like, eh. Like, the plot and, like, how they achieve, like, beating the bad guy, if you will, is kind of, really? But that's not the point. You're watching it for the musical numbers, the dance numbers. Those are stunning. When I saw it in theaters, it was around Thanksgiving time, I think is when it came out. We had, like, moms in the back of the theater standing and dancing to the music. Aww. Like, that's how much you, like, feel pumped up after watching it. It's just really feel good. And the music is great. I have, like, half the soundtrack.
That's cool.
Well, so I like the upbeat songs. I don't need the slow ones. Yeah, it's very fun. Like, if you haven't seen it and you just want something chill, feel good, and you like music, it's a really good one. And Christina Aguilera is an amazing singer. But it's one of those, if you don't like how she sings, then maybe. But it's not about the acting.
I can't think of worse Thanksgivings than going to a movie theater and watching a bunch of moms dancing.
Oh, my God. She's such a hater.
Yes.
That sounds unappealing at best. All right. So, folks, we're going to do our next week's top five before we do our box office bet. We're adding Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, Equalizer 2, and Unfriended. Now, Mamma Mia made 27.7 when it opened. Equalizer made 34.1, and Unfriended debuted at 15.8. How do you think those three will fit into our current top five?
I think Mamma Mia is actually going to do probably pretty well.
I have no idea.
Like, it's a cheesy, fun one to go watch. And Sarah, go watch Burlesque. It's really good. Unfriended, I mean, it's a horror one, but I think it's more particular audience.
It's been a while since it's been
yeah.
But also, it is a sequel, so.
I gotta have a feeling.
It's on 1,500 screens.
And it's on 1,500 screens.
All right.
I think I can see Equalizer 2 making it, because I feel
it could do well,
Dwayne Johnson disappointed with the action. I doubt Denzel Washington's going to, based on that trailer.
Ooh, yeah.
So I feel like they're craving an action film that they didn't get from Dwayne Johnson, so I can see this one coming in at number one.
Also, but, if you're talking about straight-up charisma, Denzel has it spades over Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Different kind, yeah.
But I would say also a lot of it has to do with marketing. I know about Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm.
So who doesn't?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I think it's a point,
but what about the other ones?
Ken Jack in the chat suggests Mamma Mia for number one, Equalizer for two, Hotel for three, four Ant-Man, and five Skyscraper.
Hmm.
I think I actually like that, except I'm going to move Unfriended up to... I'll move Unfriended up to four and bump out Skyscraper.
Mm.
All right. Amy?
So we...
I don't know.
Are we thinking the new three will be in the top five?
Yeah, I think they'll all be in the top five. I mean, there's low showings this week. It's going to be even lower for next.
Let's go with...
Because number one's just going to have to do, what, like 20 million? 22?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can definitely see Equalizer, then Mamma Mia, then Hotel Transylvania, then Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then Unfriended.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
One more time?
Equalizer, Mamma Mia. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel Transylvania, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Unfriended.
I'll take that, but swap and do Mamma Mia 1, Equalizers 2.
All right.
Okay, no. I think...
No.
No, you are all wrong. That's not what I think. You're right.
Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go again. Equalizer.
Uh-huh.
Hotel Transylvania. Skyscraper... No, Ant-Man... Unfriended.
You agree with Courtney in the chat.
Well, look at
which
that.
Which was kind of funny. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, I was like, that's funny. Right it on, came up like right before he said it, too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for us to do our box office bet based on the movie you have voted for us in the chat.
What?
It is Equalizer 2? Is that still the lead?
That's the last I saw, but I haven't seen it in quite some time.
While we're getting that final tally, though, quickly, the box office bet is we'll all bet on what the opening box office total will be of the film that you have chosen there in the live chat. The one who's closest gets to be like Neil and bask in the glory of being the prognosticator of prognosticators.
What's up?
The loser will have to be like Anthony and go spend that time toiling away in a dark movie theater watching the film that you've chosen.
And do the mesh.
Sarah does not believe Ant-Man will drop as much as we all think it will.
Monster mesh.
It's hard to say. But you know, next weekend, the number's going to be a little different. Thousands upon thousands of people are descending upon San Diego for Comic-Con. So that's going to change some weekend numbers here in SoCal.
Equalizer 2 is the winner. So we'll be basing our bet on that. That is from
I already wrote my bet.
Sony in Columbia on 3,000 plus screens with good old Denzel Washington. Mm. The first film made 34.1 in its opening weekend.
34.
So based on that, feel free to start entering your vote, your box office total.
Well, I said it's number two, so mine might be a little different.
All right.
I'm all in.
All right, Anthony, you ready to go, sir?
Yeah, I'm not confident in this one.
Oh, all right. That's what I like to see. Yes.
I've never seen the first Equalizer, so like...
I haven't either. You can rent it at Redbox, by the way.
Yeah, I heard it's good.
Yeah,
like, I hear good things. I just haven't gotten to it.
You just like killing people Equalizer. Left and right. Yeah, like he's a really good killer in that.
Or just ask Ben Bateman, and he will do a live reenactment for you right there, a one-man show.
The whole movie. Oh, yeah.
I'll ask him next time. I'm going to have to go, with $27
million. Ooh, 27? All right. Yeah. No confidence in your boy Denzel.
Star Drew says 28. John Harrison says 24.5. Ooh, right. Zayas goes high with 40.
I think Denzel is going to come in with 38.
Ooh.
That's so different.
Amy, Cassandra Martinez?
22.
Ooh. Wow.
Ooh.
I put it as 2.
Ooh.
Safe at 25 then.
Ooh. Oh man, I went I put my big boy pants on for this one. I went a whopping 39.
Wow.
Yeah.
39.
Who's at the polar ends then?
Me
and Amy.
Frank agrees with you. Edgar in the chat, we got 34.
Frank and Amy.
Sarah says 21, so Sarah's more in your end there, Amy.
Oh man. All right.
Ooh, it's a tough call. There's 3 movies coming out this week. Low showings this past weekend, but Comic-Con, and there's a lot of factors.
But you know, they're all different kind of movies, though, so it's one of those, like, what you're in the mood for slash what kind of movie you like. Because it's horror movie, musical, comedy, and then action, so it's not really...
Oh, you have kids.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hotel Transylvania.
Folks, I don't think there's a better
and
thing.
And Mamma Mia can be kid-friendly.
Here we go again. No better way to end that than
family
with the
friendly.
Words...
I'm a little more family than,
of Carrie Lane. There are all kinds of movies, and that is true. Anything you want to find, you can find there at your local Cineplex. But, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. letting us know your thoughts, your prognostications, your bits of shade thrown about. We always love that every single week. And as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up while you're there, or 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, however many you can. And if you are watching this after we stream live, Carrie, what can they do?
Y'all comment down below.
Ooh, any particular question you'd like them to answer?
We're technically, it's the week of sequels. So what movie, and since it's Comic-Con coming up weekend, what superhero movie that does not have a sequel would you want to have a sequel?
Darkman. Oh, wait, it does have a sequel. Dang it.
Hancock. I have no idea.
Elektra.
And as always, folks, thanks for joining us. But if you want to get in touch with us anywhere, any of us, even after the show is over, Anthony, where can they find you, sir?
Oh, first, I forgot. Hey, everybody, you can find me at TonyBTony_. It's right there on your screen, right there at the bottom. Beautiful. You can see it. It's on the screen. TonyBTony_. Don't spell it wrong. Thank you.
If you want to get in touch with me after the show's over, you can find me at Places Where People Are Found at the Neil Plumley. That's TheNeilPlumley. Amy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Neil. Yes, I am Amy Cassandra Martinez. You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Oh, shoot, I forgot.
The nail is sticking out.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
What? Oh, nail. Okay, all right.
It's all
whatever. I was busy
just like
about
a quiet place, the nail's sticking out.
Ow. But I will not be here next weekend because I will be at San Diego Comic Con. Yay! Yay! So feel free to follow me. I will be doing as much social media-ing as I can.
Social media-ing.
Nice.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. I'll also be down at Comic-Con, so follow me because I'll probably try to do some live streams and show you guys cool stuff there.
There you go. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I, too, will be down at Comic-Con. But unlike these two fantastic ladies,
thanks.
I care about you. So
thanks.
I will come back next Sunday and do a show with you, thanks, along with Neil Plumley. It'll be just two dudes.
Boys night.
Yeah.
I'll be
in the
here.
Same room, wearing a hat.
And Anthony, guys. He wants.
We're going to have beers and opinions.
Yeah. I know, but he said just two dudes.
Are you going to be wearing a hat, Anthony? Because that's a requirement if you
solidarity
want to do a show.
I'm wearing a hat right now.
All right.
Perfect.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Join us next week. And in the meantime, go to the movies.
Go see some movies.
Bye.
See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.